Okay, so we're continuing from the Tosos and Vav Amin Aleph of Arba Rishus Hashanas. Yes, so the Ramban is very critical of the Tosos, right? So what does Ramban say? Very, very interesting Ramban. Very, very nice, clear Ramban. What does he say? Someone read? Yeah, that's a giant copy. What? Go ahead. Who wants to read the Ramban? Okay, so he quotes the Tosos question, and he doesn't even quote the answer. He just says the answer is very muddled. Okay, go ahead. So what is he saying? Okay, so he says it's not even a question. It's interesting, way to put it. It's not even a question, right? He doesn't have an answer. He just says it's not even a question. What's the difference between saying it's he has an answer and it's not even a question? So what is he saying? He says it's not even a question. Why? Because Dalad Rishuyos, because the Karpaif is really a Rishus Yachid Gomor Midaraisa. Right, Midaraisa, all you need is the four walls, or the three walls, whatever it is. All you need is the Heck of Machitzos, right? And it doesn't matter how big it is, Midaraisa. All right, I mean, it would seem there has to be some sort of a limitation. But let's say, practically speaking, there's no limitation, right? So as long as it's enclosed or separated from the Rishus Rabban, it's a Rishus HaYachid, right? Okay, so it has to answer the problem. And what? That's a Rishus HaYachid. And what? And what? What is he again? What is he saying again?
He's in the four Rishuyos, but they're right to right around there. Yeah.
And all four Rishuyos, Shomayu Alayu, their names are upon Midaraisa, right? So the Midaraisa name. Bein Midaraisa, Bein Midrabana, Shomayu Alayu. Okay, they have their names. They have their names, but it's only that Midaraisa, there are three dinim to these four names, and Midrabana, there are four dinim to these four names, right? It has a shame. It has a shame as a razor.
Why can't he just hold that as the same identity as the Malchum Tor? Because then it would still be counting the different halachos, and then it's only counting the halachos that the ones that have the same identity as the razor.
But doesn't he say that the Shemayu Alayu Bein Midor? Doesn't
right.
he say Midoraisa? So they also have the shame.
Samos doesn't have a new shame. It has the same. It has the old identity of Malchum Tor.
Are you saying? Let me just ask you a question. Are you saying this because the words indicate that, or because something bothers you about saying that?
About saying that Carmel is I think it's worth. I think both.
Vahani, what? Right.
These four.
Bein midoraisa, bein midrabonon, shamayu alayu. In terms of the shame, there's no difference midoraisa midrabonon. Ella. I don't think you can read it any other way. Right, Mitnick? I mean, he's trying to contrast it. He's saying in terms of the shame is exists Midaraisa and Midrabanan. The only difference is in the dinim, that Midaraisa, there are only three dinim on these four shemos, and Midrabanan, there are four dinim. So therefore, what's the question? Why isn't Karpef here? Because why? It's not even a question. Because we're counting Shemos. Right? The Gemara is, the Bryce is listing Shemos. Abba Rishuyos. Tosus' whole question, he's undercutting Tosus' entire question. Right? Because Tosus' question would seem to be based on, we're counting Makomos that have Dinim. We're counting places that have different dinim. So how many places have different dinim on Shabbos? So then you're missing one. right? But if you say you're counting shamos, you're counting reshuyos just as they exist as a shame, not how they exist as a din, then there are only four. And karpif is not a new shame reshus. It might have more dinim, but that's not what it's counting. They're not counting dinim, they're counting shamos. Right, Daniel?
What's his last line when we did Rand Arba? Isn't it more than four?
No, the ones that are listed.
What's he trying to say? If Ani Bema Dereisa Bimir and Shemai Goli, what does that mean?
It means to say that what's the Gemara counting? Arba Rishuyos. It's counting Rishuyos.
I understand, right? I understand what you're saying. I'm just wondering how you're reading that line.
I'm reading that line like this, because he's trying to get out of the problem. In other words, if you say they're counting the dinim, so then Tosafot has a good question. He says that's not what they're counting. They're counting the reshuyos, right? So in terms of the reshus, that's these four reshuyos exist. Sai deraisa, sai derabanan. Chaim, right? These four reshuyos exist. Okay. So that's the count. Now the only thing is that midaraisa there are only three dinim with these four rishuyos, and midrabanan there are four dinim with these four rishuyos. Right?
What does that mean?
Okay, so what it means is like this: that midaraisa there's no difference between karmelus and makom patur. So midaraisa there are four rishuyos. If you would ask a Talmudist Moshe Rabbeinu how many rishuyos are there on Shabbos, right? What would he say? Four. Say, how many different dinim do these engender? Three. What are they? Very simple. You go from Rosh Hashanah Rabban to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, or vice versa, you're Chayav Chatas. If you go to one of the other two, you're not.
It's not a big enough change in Makom.
What are you looking for?
You're
asking for the reason why you're not Chayav?
I'm not sure what you're asking. In other words, if you're from Rosh Hashanah Rabban to Karmelus, you're not Chayav.
Midaraisa, of course not.
So you're saying, you know, even though
because Hotsah is from Rosh Hashanah Yachad to Rosh Hashanah Rabban, vice versa. Heim helu krashim lagola atem, right? What is the problem? What's the resistance? I'm not sure if I'm understanding this.
There are four different definitions of like different types of places, and it's just in terms of Hotsah, there's just three dinim.
That's right. Are equal. Midaraisa, Karmelus, and Makom Patur are equal.
I think the difficulty is that if you have four shamos and only three dinim, you would want to say
that's a good question. Okay, so that's a good question. But I'm trying to.
The Ramban's move is to say that
I try never to confuse the step of reading what he's saying with understanding the ultimate svar of what he's getting at. Okay, because if you take that approach, then don't bother reading him, because you're already assuming you know exactly how it should be, and you're not going to let certain words go together in a way that offends the way you think it should be. I like to take the approach: let's see what the words are indicating, and we'll deal with the problems that they present. And if we can't figure it out, we'll either have to say we read it wrong or we're stuck. But to me, I mean. The clearly he's indicating that there's no question here. There's not even a question. Why is it not even a question? Because if the count is just of the Rishios themselves, then nothing is left out. Tosa's question is because in the way he's understanding the count, something is left out. So then he has to say, it's not exactly that way. The count is not exactly the way I said it was. It's sort of like that. I mean, like, I was thinking, it's a simple, silly example, but I was thinking, like, Tosis is like saying, like, if you go into an ice cream parlor, and you'd say to the guy, how many flavors are you selling today? Right? And he says, you know, ever see those soft serve machines? So he says, well, we've got vanilla, chocolate, and strawberry. Right? And then you see somebody come in and get the chocolate vanilla swirl. You say, whoa, you didn't tell me about that flavor. He says, yeah, I did, because I told you vanilla and chocolate, and this is just a combination of the two. You can try to define that, but the point is that's the way he's looking at it. Sometimes an example is an excuse for a definition, but just to just to show you the approach that he's looking at it. But the Ramban says it's not like that at all. Just we're talking about the Rishuyos themselves. So there are no more Rishuyos. Just because sometimes the Rishus Yachid is treated differently, it doesn't make it a new Rishus. It's just therefore Rishuyos. So that leads to Rafi's question, which is the proper question now, which is what kind of an idea is there midaraisa to say that there's a chilik of Rishuyos that does not have a chilik in dinim. In other words, saying in terms of what characteristics define karka, there's four. Right? Mechitzos of Yud define karka in one way. Now, just because we're going to have a gzera to treat a karpe, shalohukaf ledira, with certain dinim, that doesn't mean that the karka doesn't change the fact that it's still a karka that's qualified by hekaf mechitzos of Yud. Right.
It's a more specific kind.
But he's saying that's not. No, it's not really. If the definition comes from the heck of mechitzos, that is the definition. You can't. They're not adding in and making new definitions. It's a gzera. You have to treat this a certain way. Doesn't change the doesn't make it into another kind of a chefza. Good. Okay. So you're right. All right. So let's just go over. So what is? I know we didn't get to it yet. But what is karmelis?
Really, he says,
like a Rambam
says, an incomplete
Rishus Yachid
or Rishus
Rav. So Karmelis, let's just keep it with a simple example. Karmelis would be a place that's surrounded by walls that are not 10 tefachim high, let's say. Okay? So, apparently it doesn't completely prevent the Kiyas HaRabim, but it does throw it off of the free access. Right, it doesn't transform it into a private place because the 10 tefachim is what really absolutely prevents the rabbim, but it's like Rashi says, it's like Tosis says, it's in between, it's not wet, it's not dry, sort of an in between. Okay, but that is a certain type of a makom still, right? So you understand that, yeah. But what's makom patur? What's the main feature of makom patur? Yeah, that's less than 4x4 tefachim. Right. He says, Rashi says, she'enu choshev reshus la'atzmo. So it's a very interesting thing, but it still is a very interesting thing. But why don't you just say midaraisa, there's reshus ha'yachid, reshus ha'rabim, and everything else? Right? Why bother defining karmelis and makom patur?
It's really interesting because the malacha doesn't...
So the question is, right, if there's no necessity, if there's no halachic distinction between makom patur and karmelis, so why is there a definition, why are there two different shemos? Why don't you just say it's either yichayev, why isn't the Torah just define the places yichayev on and leave the other places untouched? Right? There's a Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim. And you're only chayev if you go from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. Why does that necessitate now two other definitions of karmelis and makom patur, right? It has to be something that makes that necessary. In making Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim, has to be some reason that has to happen.
Well, let me just answer your question then, because are you saying why does the Torah have to differentiate between karmelis and makom patur, or why does it even need to talk about anything other than Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim? Unless those are the same question.
Well, I think that's sort of the same question to my mind, that it should just define Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim and say, here's how you're over the malacha, and the other, anything else is not shayach to this malacha of Hotzah, and therefore should just be left as an unaffected areas, undefined areas. Why now give Shemos, saying you only chayiv if you go from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, but everything else you're going to be potter in. Oh, and by the way, that everything else has two halachic shemos. I mean, right? Yeah. So I think the thing is like this. I think you have to acknowledge one thing that we said. Just have to make it clear. that that there's a difference between karmelos and makom patur. Okay, what's the essential difference between karmelos and makom patur? The only thing I'm changing about what you're saying is I don't like how you're putting it all into the maisa malacha. I want to talk about the rishiyos. Mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of characteristics of places, you're focused more on the difference between karmelos and makom patur is that karmelos is a kind of a rishus. Karmelos is a rishus. And makom patur is not. Now, what does it mean? It is a rishus. What does that mean? Trying to keep with our definition that we started with, it means it's a makom that has characteristics. Okay. Whereas makom patur is too small to be qualified. Now, as rishus means qualified makom. Okay. So that's what the Torah is telling you. The Torah is telling you, in order to be chayav for hotzah, there's a new concept. There's a concept of a qualified place. That's a rishus. A makom that's qualified. Okay? So that means there's an idea of makom and an idea of qualification. Right? There's an idea of a makom that's roi for qualification. So then that's automatically going to create these four categories. Because you're going to have the Rishus HaYachid, which is a makom qualified in one positive way. You're going to have a Rishus HaRabim, which is a makom qualified in another positive way. Right? And then you're going to have Mekomos that don't have either of those qualifications. Okay, that's a karmelos. But a makom patur is the fourth thing. It simply is a makom that doesn't partake of any qualification. You understand? Whereas the rishus hayachid is a rishus because it goes back to what you're saying. The reason why it's a rishus is because it's functional. That's definitely true. It's functional. It has its own function. So it can be qualified by the function that is evident by its features. So Rishus HaYachid, the features qualify it as a private domain. Rishus HaRabim, its features qualify it as a public domain. Right now, the Karmelos is partly qualified by each, but that's a type of qualification. You understand? That's a certain quality in the thing. It just hasn't risen to the level of either one fully, so it's sort of like a mixed qualification. But makom, and that has to be, because once the halacha says there's an idea of qualities in makomos, and Rishus HaYachid expresses one, and Rishus HaRabim, this will express one fully, this will express another one fully, parts of each also have some idea to them. Okay? But that's all necessary. Okay, but there's one more thing necessary. That since we say there's such a thing as makom that's qualified, there's a certain level where a place has, there's a certain shear to when a thing can take a quality. Right? So the makom patur, it will have to, the hilchos hotzah will generate four categories. The full fully qualified areas, a third partially qualified area, and since qualified area is a concept, it's not a thing, it means karka that is capable of receiving a quality, there's also going to be karka that's just not capable of receiving quality. That's the makom patur. Yeah, so makom patur is not a rishus. It's a piece of karka that doesn't have a shem rishus. That's what Rashi says. Eino chashev rishus la'atzmo. That is a makom patur. That's a good question. It's a little bit of an inexact lashon.
Not really.
No, but that's why he says Shemayu Alayu. These shemos exist midaraisa. Midaraisa, these shemos exist. There's three qualified pieces of karka and one karka that's unqualified. Those concepts conceptually exist. Midaraisa. Even though midaraisa, there's not going to be a nafkamina between Rosh Hashiachid and the Makom Patur. Rosh Makamelos and the Makom Patur. Let me just clarify. I think it's important to clarify, to use a certain terminology now, okay? That like the Rambam has, and like Rashi. I mean, this is pretty much the way we have to start speaking. And that is, we have to differentiate between Rishus and Makom. Okay? Makom is just a geographical place. Okay? Rishus is a unified, qualified unit of Makom. Okay, is a Rishus is qualified Makom. Right? Makom is just land, place, ground, terra firma, right? Rishus is a domain, is a region. Is a region means it's marked by a certain quality throughout. All these particular Makomos share something in common, and that makes them one entity. That's a Rishus. Okay, so Makom, Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid, and Carmelis are three Makomos that are qualified. Two of them are properly qualified, and the third is incompletely qualified. Two of them are completely qualified, and the third one is incompletely qualified. But once we say that there is a there's an idea of the qualities, even calling it unqualified, I don't really care right now if you want to call it unqualified, partly qualified, mixed qualified, that doesn't bother me now. Even unqualified is true. But there's a difference between unqualified and makom patur, where it's simply not capable of qualification. That's just pure makom. Because there's a difference between, I mean, the truth of the matter is, we'll have to go through what the Carmelis is more. But, the plain pshat is it really partakes of attributes of both. Right? Partakes of attributes of both. Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRab. And that creates a certain Carmelis. That creates certain quality. That is a certain quality in its own right.
Yeah, okay.
But a Makom Patur is just pure karka. It has no quality. It's too small to be qualified. There's a certain minimum where you say, like Matt is saying, function is part of Rishus's function. So otherwise, it's just pure Makom. So the Hilchos Rishuyos are going to create the idea of Rishus, which now is going to create the idea of Rishus itself creates Makom Patur, really. Because now it's saying some Makomos can't be qualified. They're out of the picture of Rishus. Now, of the areas that have that can be qualified, there's two positive and one neutral. You know, once I tell you there's an idea of qualifying karka, that also brings with it a minimal shear of when karka can be qualified. So that already is going to cut out Makom, that already slices out Makom Patur. Now you have the two positive qualities and the third incomplete. Yeah. In terms of the idea of malacha of hotzah, it's not qualifiable because it's the whole idea is a function of the land. So if there's a piece of land that cannot be that's too small to be functional.
In terms of hotzah,
right,
okay.
Then it's not qualified.
In terms of
qualifying a chefza. Now, since hotzah has to do with an object qualified by its place, so it has to be considered munach in a place. To be, if it's transient in the place, it's not qualified by the place. So, in order for a place to give something an object a quality, it has to be capable of the receiving the object. That's why the Rambam says a hand is like a makom dalal dalal, because the fingers can hold on to the object tightly.
By three.
See, I think what makes it hard to see the Ramban over here is that there's a sense that we're covering. I mean this literally. That with the halacha we're covering all of the ground. Right. In other words, if I would tell you, if I would make an object and I would say this object is a this is a fork, so That doesn't, you wouldn't have a question, what are, about all the other things in the world? I mean, it's not like you, if I define this object as a fork, then say, well, everything else is a non-fork. You know what I mean? That's, but over here, because I'm not talking about anything else, I'm only talking about this one chefza. But there's a feeling that when I'm talking about Rishuyos, I'm talking about the entire globe. So I must address every square inch of the globe. Otherwise, I have not defined the Rishuyos. So it's like a sense that I'm carving up the globe. Right? But we're not. We're really not. We're really defining entities of qualified makomos. That could leave some places untouched completely. That's a makom patur. The makom patur is sort of the area that's untouched by the halachic shemos that are being created. So there are two primary shemos. Then there's another rishus. There's another object that partakes of the idea conceptually of the other two, because it is capable of containing a chefza, it is capable of a hanacha, it is capable of all the other things that the first two rishus are capable of, but not having the same definition. So that's a legitimate third when you're defining the first two, because what's the class? In other words, what's the class that we're talking about? The class, that's what I'm trying to say, there's a class, the class of the Rishuyos is really the functional makomos. That's right. Now, of course, it's going to, mamela, it's going to create areas that are just not dealt with. Those are the makom patur. The other three are qualified. Right? Has to be that way. It's not that makom patur is made. That was the basis of my question. Why make a makom patur if you already have a karmelis? Just throw it all into karmelis. But I'm saying makom patur is really left out. It's not made. And you can't demand the halacha include things that are not shaykh to it.
So the Gemara has to introduce dinim.
Yeah, because Tosis makes no sense to him, because Tosis is stuck in the dinim way of looking at it. And now he's trying to say, well, these dinim are not really different, because it's a combination. But that itself is a new din. Right, right. So we have to say Tosis is learning that there are four primary entities, calling them entities, but primary categories, primary halachic, primary dinim. Yeah, primary cases of dinim. Not. He's not giving you every permutation of those dinim. Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, in terms of machlokas, it does seem like the Ramban is looking at it like it's a theoretical introduction. It's giving you the basic theoretical entities of the Torah, and showing you how the Rabbanon treat them, and the Tosa seems saying it should be like a synopsis of all of the practical halachos, but it doesn't need to draw out every detail. As long as it gives you the elements, it's enough.